Isaiah chapter number 14, and look at with me, if you would, verses 1 through 4. And if you're taking notes this morning, the title of the lesson is The Meaning of God's Mercy to God's People. The Meaning of God's Mercy to God's People. Verse number 1 says this, For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Let's open up our hour in prayer here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, we take time to just thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you for being faithful this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are a merciful God. And Father, I pray that as we study your mercy this morning, Lord, that we will be able to take on that attribute and see that attribute grow in our lives, that we may be merciful even as you are merciful. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage we're dealing with in Isaiah chapter 13 and 14 is a prophecy of when Babylon would take Israel captive. If I were to give you a timeline of this particular passage, the passage is being written around 715 BC, or 715 years before the time of Christ. From our timetable today, about 2,700 years ago, this particular passage is being written. And it's a forecast that Babylon would invade Israel and take them captive. That actually took place in 586 BC. So this prophecy is 130 years ahead of when it's actually going to happen. We read Isaiah 13 and 14, and that's what the Bible's dealing with here. In the midst of that prophecy, God says at the beginning of chapter number 14, For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. Or in other words, there's coming judgment to the nation of Israel, but God is going to show mercy. And as you read down through chapter number 14, you'll find that God is not only going to use Babylon to bring Israel into captivity, but God will also bring Babylon down to show his mercy to the nation of Israel. And so that's the context of what we're dealing with this morning. And I want to focus on that first verse, For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. I have found in reading through the Old Testament prophets that, boy, they can be bold at times. And as you're reading through them, it's almost as if the prophets are pronouncing death warrants on God's people. The judgment that God is going to bring on his people was sometimes very blunt in their own words. But weaved through that judgment are echoes of God's mercy throughout the Old Testament prophets. And in this particular passage, God makes sure under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Isaiah records the words, For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. There's a number of things that I want you to see about the Lord's mercy this morning. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 2, Habakkuk pleads with God, and he says, Revive thy work in the midst of years, in the midst of years make known, and in your wrath, Lord, please remember mercy. Please remember mercy. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want to give you a number of truths as it relates to the meaning of God's mercy for you as a believer. First of all, I want you to see the expressions of God's mercy. The expressions of God's mercy. Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10. And who can help me with some reading this morning? I would like to have some readers. Somebody can help me. Bobby Rogers, if you'll read 1 Peter 2:10. And then Dave Wilbur, if you'll read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The expressions of God's mercy. Mercy, folks, is an action demonstrated from the character qualities of compassion and forbearance. Mercy isn't something that we just talk about. It's not something that's out there that can't be felt or seen. It is an action that comes from the character qualities of compassion and forbearance. And I want you to see the action that God takes this morning to show us His mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10. Bobby?
Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
But now have obtained mercy. If you're a believer here this morning, there was a time where you were not a child of God. You had not obtained mercy from God. But in salvation, what took place? God demonstrated His mercy. His mercy towards you. It's an expression of God's mercy. Dave, can you read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5?
Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved.
But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. And look at the next phrase, for His great love wherewith He loved us. How do we know His love so great? For God so loved the world that He what? Sent His only Son. Do you realize the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, God showed His mercy by sending Him to earth? That's an expression of God's mercy this morning. And we as believers sometimes need to be taken back to what that mercy did for us. We need to be taken back to remember what it brought us up out of. The psalmist put it this way, brought us up out of a horrible pit and set our feet on a solid rock and did what? Established our going. He gave us purpose and direction in life. Through what? Through His mercy. Through His mercy. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, turn over there in your Bibles, as the Bible has a lot to say about this particular topic. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Many today are trying to get to heaven through their own works and their own ways, their own thinking. But Titus 3, 5 makes it very clear, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize if you take the mercy quality out of God's character, let's just remove that for a second, you're not a believer today? In fact, salvation is not offered to you. Because the Bible says here in this particular passage that but according to His mercy, He saved us. The character quality of mercy in God's character is everything to our salvation. Boy, the meaning of God's mercy, it ought to cause us to rejoice as we sing this morning and as we praise the Lord in prayer. It ought to cause us to rejoice that His mercy reached down and saved our souls. Not only do we see the expression of God's mercy, but number two, if you're taking notes, we see the excellence of God's mercy. Turn over to your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 2 and verse number 12, and I would like to have somebody read that this morning. Zechariah chapter 2. In verse number 12, who can help me with reading? Pastor Michael, Zechariah 2, verse number 12.
And the Lord shall inherit Judah, His portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again.
Shall choose Jerusalem again. The excellence of God's mercy, listen to me carefully this morning, is the fact that He chooses people over and over and over again. It's not that He chose Jerusalem for the first time here. It's not that He chose that Israel would be His people the first time. But the Bible uses that word again, pointing to the fact that Israel had run from God over and over and over again. We read that in the Old Testament. But the Bible says here God chose them again and again. By the way, in the end times, God will choose them again. Because God is a merciful God. If you were up here this morning and I had pizza from Roma's and I had pizza from Teresa's And I ask you to come up and make a choice between the two. Some of you might choose Teresa's. Some of you might choose Roma's. You would choose what you like best. Right? Most people don't choose what they like least. Most people, when given a choice, choose what they like best. I want you to get this, believers, because this is very important, and it shows the excellence of God's mercy. When we sin against God, when we do that which is wrong, when we turn our back on God, we backslide, we go against His word and against His character, there are two choices God could make. God could make to the believer to just castigate them and turn His back on them and never give them a second chance. Or God could choose to say, well, I want that son or daughter to return to me. Well, I want to go after them. I want to give them an opportunity to come back to me. And that is the excellence of God's mercy. God always chooses to give us second and third and fourth chances. I believe that all of us could raise our hands this morning and testify of that. Man, I failed God miserably in this area of my life. But God, in His excellence of mercy, gave me a second chance. And He gave me a third chance. And He gave me a fourth chance. All the meaning of God's mercy to us is that He gives us chances over and over and over again in our lives to draw nigh unto Him. There may be somebody here this morning that's running from God. Personally, in your heart, you're running from what God wants you to do. You're running from something that God wants you to obey. Can I encourage you this morning that God's mercy is reaching out to you to give you a second chance for you to turn your life back to Him? Why don't you take advantage of God's mercy? Why don't you respond to it today and turn your life back to God? That's what He desires. That's why in wrath He remembers mercy. But I want you to know that there's a condition sometimes on that mercy. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13, shows us that condition. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. A person that's all about covering their sins, keeping them secret, not dealing with them biblically, not agreeing with God about them and turning from them, but continuing in sin and keeping it covered, trying to hide it from God, which you cannot do, that person is not going to prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have what? Mercy. Mercy. You see, for you to continue to run from God, you're going to continue to run into dead-end walls. You're not going to prosper. You're going to continue to live frustrated. Everything you put your hand to is going to end up in disaster and failure. But if you will confess your sin to God and agree with God about your sin, the Bible says you'll have mercy. You'll have the mercy of God. Not only the expressions of mercy this morning and not only the excellence of mercy that we see in God's character, but thirdly, the endurance of God's mercy. The endurance of God's mercy. When God emphasizes a truth in the Bible, generally He says it more than once. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 136, because there is something that's communicated in Psalm 136 that He really wants us to get, and it's in relationship to His mercy and the endurance of it. Psalm chapter 136, if you will, and we'll look at verse number 1 to begin with. Psalm 136, look at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Say it with me. For His mercy endureth forever. Verse number 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Say it with me. For His mercy endureth forever. Verse number 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords together. For His mercy endureth forever. Verse number 4. To Him who alone doeth great wonders together, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse number 5, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Folks, God wants us to get and understand his character, that his mercy endures forever. It doesn't endure just through part of your life. It doesn't endure just for one generation of your family. The Bible here teaches us that the mercy of God endures forever. Turn over in your Bibles to Micah chapter number 7, because Micah 7 teaches us that his mercy endures longer than his anger endures. I didn't see this until I was studying for this particular lesson, but this is an amazing truth in the Scripture. It endures, his mercy endures beyond his anger. Micah chapter 7, and look at verses 18 and 19. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. The prophet says this: Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. Why? Because he delighteth in mercy. Now wait a second. Psalm 136 said his mercy what? Endureth forever. The Bible says here about his anger that he'll not retain his anger what? Forever. That means that his mercy endures longer than his anger. That's what the Bible teaches. Boy, we ought to praise God for his mercy this morning. He has a multitude of his tender mercy. You say, preacher, why does his mercy endure so long? Because the Bible teaches us in this passage in Micah 7 that he delights in mercy. He delights in it. He takes pleasure in showing mercy to us. He takes pleasure in giving out more mercy, even when we don't deserve it. By the way, mercy's never deserved, but he takes pleasure in giving it out. Folks, that's the kind of God that we serve. We need to understand when we're working with people to be merciful as God is merciful. We need to show the mercy of God to them, and that God wants to save them from their sin, and they don't have to go to a place called hell. God, who is rich in mercy, wants to give them something that they don't deserve and spare them from a punishment in an eternal hell. That's the mercy of God. And so, we have these truths on mercy. My question this morning is this: do you and I delight in showing mercy to others? Remember, mercy is something you show to someone that has no right to it because of their behavior. It's a free act. It's something I give to someone else, not because they deserve it, but because I want to exemplify the mercy of God in my life. I want people to see God in me. It's not a non-moral attribute, like God being all-powerful. I can never attain that attribute. I can't get close to it. But this is a moral attribute of God. That is, it means it's something that I can be like God in. I can grow in this area of my Christian life. The meaning of mercy for God's people. Then I want to show you the explanation of God's mercy. Turn back to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. The first mention of the word mercy in our Bible is when Lot is being spared from the judgment of God. Everybody remember that? The Old Testament? Lot's in Sodom. Problem is, as Lot was in Sodom with his family, the Bible says that Lot's righteous soul was what? Vexed day to day with the evil that was around him. In fact, when it came time for Lot and his family to leave Sodom to escape God's judgment, they could not do it. We pick up the story in verse number 16, and while Lot lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. Oh, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Lot was able to look and recognize, even not being right with God here, I believe, Lot was able to look and recognize the mercy of God in his life. He said, Lord, you have saved me from this. You have spared me from your judgment. You have magnified what? Your mercy. Your mercy in my life has been magnified. Listen, when God preserves us from evil, when God pulls us out of it, do you realize what his mercy is doing for us? It's sparing us from his judgment. That is the explanation of his mercy. It's when we're spared from judgment or harm. A mother approached Napoleon, the great ruler, one day, seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and that justice for that situation and those crimes demanded that her son die. The mother explained, but I don't ask for justice. She said, I plead for mercy. The emperor replied to the woman, but your son does not deserve mercy. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all that I ask for. Well, then the emperor said, I will have mercy. And he spared the woman's son. You know why we don't have a lot of teaching about mercy in churches today? It's because we don't have a lot of preaching about hell. We don't have a lot of preaching about the justice of God and what God's character demands as a payment for sin. And therefore, we don't exalt God's mercy because we don't see God as a just God. May I say this morning that God is 100% just, but he's also a merciful God. What does this mercy mean in Isaiah chapter 14? Go back to our passage that we began with this morning. What does it mean to you and me now? In Isaiah chapter 14, where God is in the middle of pouring out judgment. Judgment is prophesied. He weaves in this topic, this phrase of that he will have mercy on Jacob. That means that there will be a time of judgment in Israel's history, but at some point in time, God would hit the reset button. He would show mercy. He would give them a fresh start. He would bring them out of captivity as he did. What God's mercy means to you and me is it means that God has the ability to reset. You know, in electronics today, you have reset buttons, and they're very nice. Whether it's the fire alarm here at the church and you hit the reset button to shut it off, or it's in your phone, there's a problem in your phone, you can't figure out what your phone is, but you have this soft reset, you hit the soft reset, and it restores the phone to its original settings. Reset is a wonderful thing. Do you realize that every day that you live, God doesn't keep track of his mercy to where I gave them a lot today, boy, I don't know if I can give them that tomorrow. I'm starting to run out. Oh no. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 22 says what? His mercies, his mercies fail not. His compassions are new, what? Every morning. Every morning. That means that you could have taken God a long ways in your life. You could have used up a lot of his mercy. But you know what? The next day, It's all new today. Never runs out of mercy. It's all new every day in our lives. So, how do we live that out? Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. If you'll turn there, Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. God says, this is my character. But guess what? I want you to be like me in this way. I want you to show me to the world and to your family and to your coworkers. I want you to show them the mercy of God. I want you to develop mercy in your life. Here's what he says in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Mercy is most clearly seen in how we treat those who are unthankful or evil or are considered our enemies or people that can't give back to us. How do we treat those folks in our lives? Because that's where our mercy shows up. That's what God says here. Notice the word therefore in verse number 36. Therefore always points back to what took place in the previous verse. And he says, if you're going to be kind, you're going to be a child of the Highest, then you are going to show mercy to those that are ungrateful. Those that never say thankful, you'll still show mercy to. Those that are evil, you'll show mercy to. Those that rub you wrong, those that you might even consider your enemies, those you don't get along with, those are the ones you're to be merciful to. Be ye therefore merciful, even as I am merciful. I wonder if you've allowed a coworker to irritate you and get under your skin so much that you've thought of ways to retaliate, to revenge, to hurt them back. And this morning's lesson is for you, as God says, be ye therefore merciful, as I am merciful. To treat them with kindness. Maybe it's a family relationship. Maybe there's been trouble that's been stirred up. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you feel like somebody's jumped all over you and you can't do anything right and you're frustrated in that relationship, and maybe there's anger that's welling up in your heart, and God says, be merciful. Folks, that's what distinguishes between us and the world. We're children of the Highest. The character of God says, you know what? Those that treat me and are unthankful, I'm still merciful to them. I spare them punishment. I don't give them what I think they deserve. That's the mercy of God. By the way, it ought to be the mercy of every one of us. It ought to be the mercy of the Christian. He's drawing you to make the same choice on an everyday basis. Listen to me, hit the reset button with that person. Well, preacher, you don't know how far I've gone with them. You don't know how I've tried to be long-suffering and forbearing. But God's mercies are new every morning. They don't fail. Hit the reset button. Say, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I need your help to show them the mercy of God. I want them, God, to see you in my life. That is what the Bible's teaching us this morning. Let your mercy start anew towards the person that you're struggling with in your life and see God work in the situation. Not only is it God's ability to hit the reset button, but in this particular passage of Isaiah chapter 14, the second thing true as we explain God's mercy this morning is in His mercy, He has the power to reverse circumstances. You say, preacher, I'm facing some unbelievable circumstances. Some of those circumstances may be from your own choices. They may be things that you're reaping back into your life because of things that you've sowed. But do you understand that Israel was in the same place in Isaiah 14? And God said, in my mercy, I'm going to reverse the situation. I want you to look at verse number 2 with me in Isaiah chapter 14. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. They shall take them captives, notice, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Can I explain the verse? Here are people that held Israel captive. Here are people that had their thumb on the nation of Israel. They said to Israel, jump. And Israel said, how high? Israel were their slaves. But do you understand that the Bible here in God's mercy is saying, there'll come a time where I'll show my mercy and I'll reverse that situation. Israel will now rule over their oppressors. I believe spiritual application could be made to us in this sense. There are some times where we become enslaved and we become a master to a sin in our lives or a habit. And I want you to know this morning that in God's mercy, He can reverse that situation. He can make you the master of the habit instead of the habit being the master of you. God in His mercy can do that. He reverses circumstances. He did it for the nation of Israel. He can do it for you this morning. And the last explanation I have in the lesson this morning is that God has the ability in His mercy to give rest. Look at verse number 3 of Isaiah 14. It shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. There's no doubt, think with me this morning, if you and I were being held captive in a foreign land, around us there was uncertainty. We didn't know what was going to take place. We didn't know what would happen. In fact, the people around us were speaking foreign languages. We had no idea what they were talking about. There is no doubt that we could relate to verse number 3, where we would be sorrowful, number 1, where we would be fearful, number 2, and where we would be in hard bondage, number 3. That is the plight of the nation of Israel in bondage. But notice the Bible says, in the day, the Lord shall give thee rest from these things. You ever ask God for mercy when life was getting heavy? I'm amazed at some of the burdens that people bear within our fellowship. They are heavy burdens. They are hurtful burdens. They are the burdens that keep you up at night where you have sleepless nights. They are the burdens where you cry to where you can't cry or you feel you can't cry anymore. They're real burdens. I'm asking those of you that are bearing that type of burden this morning, I'm asking you, have you asked for God's mercy? The mercy of God is able to give rest from sorrow, is able to give rest from hard bondage, is able, the Bible says, to give rest from fear. I want you to think about these verses as we close out the Sunday school hour. There are some that are in need, that need the mercy of God this morning. Psalm 6, verse number 2 says this, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." What did the psalmist do? What was the remedy for his problem? What did he do in his weakness, in his sickness? He said, "Lord, have mercy on me." In Psalm 25, verse 16, he says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." You know what the psalmist is asking for here? "Lord, can you give me some relief? Can you give me some rest from what I am facing? God, I'm turning to you for you to show me your mercy." In Psalm 27, verse 7, he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." Lord, show me your mercy by answering me in my distress. Lord, turn unto me. Show me your mercy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16 says this,
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, the mercy of God is not some far out character quality that He has and we never see it. The mercy of God He can show to us personally. You have a need this morning? Let me encourage you to cry out to God for His mercy. That's the example of the psalmist. That's the example that we find in the Scripture. And so for the believer this morning, the meaning of God's mercy stirs us to be thankful because He demonstrated His mercy in saving us. Boy, we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to rejoice in that. For the believer this morning, the meaning of God's mercy means that it ought to motivate us to be merciful even as He is merciful. That's what ought to happen in our lives. We ought to be motivated. We ought to be stirred this morning. Lord, help me to live this out in my life. For the believer, this morning, the meaning of God's mercy comforts us in that He hits the reset button every day. And His mercy endures forever. For the believer, this morning, the meaning of God's mercy should cause us to cry out to God in time of need. Cry out for His rest. Cry out for relief. To have a bright hope for the future, He can reverse our situation and turn the tide in our lives. Oh, the blessing of God's mercy.